Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
We set ourselves apart from the competition is quite simple. We're not going to sell you on things that you don't need. We're not like quota based. We don't work off numbers.
You know, for more than half of my life, I've been just a sports jock, right? Yeah. Like a junkie, played every single sport you can think of outside, with the exception of like hockey.
Right. Okay. Like, yeah.
You know, soccer maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a lot of work for a company called Forge Line. They're a Dayton company. They were on like last year's Mustang GT3 Mustang, and now they're on next year's Corvette GT3 Corvette.
You're far, far, far away from being the guy that is selling it in the back of the truck frozen.
Yes. And I would not buy me out of a truck ever.
Clients will text me on a Friday and ask me where I should go eat. I'm in Columbus. Where should I go eat?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like just because they know me, they, you know, we're friends, really.
Right.
Truly, I see them more than I see my own siblings.
It's fun to work with my vendors, especially local ones that I have, to fill a need because then I'm helping them too. And it makes me look good.
Right.
So it's one of those things that it's just fun. I love what I do.
I took a dirt bike over to the west side of Dayton to meet a couple guys that wanted to buy it. And unfortunately, I was robbed and I was shot in the face.
And all the yards we were taking care of were already like, you know, they were already in shape. So we were just doing maintenance. So this was like the first time the transformation was done by me. And it was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like, this is how this works.
Well, you can be a great executionist and be somebody who is a social media strategist, maybe aptly named that. And you can be social media focused and have a great career doing social media as a service.
We do free workshops every other month for our wish recipients. So they will come just do like fun stuff with us. We've done decorating cookies, making aromatherapy lotions and things. We've done Christmas wreaths, like just depending on the season.
Well, tell us your story. Like, how did you get into, you know, wanting to do the vape business? I mean, there's so many different businesses out there. So let's talk about, you know, you're a young guy still, so let's talk about you wanting to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Let's start there and then kind of build to that.
I've always been obsessed with business and, you know, as an inquisitive person on, you know, even back when I was in high school, I always dreamt of owning a business. And, you know, in the early days, like in high school, I'm the guy who's riding a scooter up to GFS to buy a case of candy bars to sell at school, and not for a sports team. So I had to like make up the dirt,
while you were selling the candy
dirt
bars.
Bike Dayton Dirt Bike Association's club to. But I was doing that, and I just liked that journey of trying to figure out this puzzle, and then I would try to sell whatever. It'd be my lunch. I'd be going through the line with somebody like, hey, would you rather give me can you give me the $3 and I'll give you my lunch instead of you paying the school?
Just trying to figure out how to make a dollar.
Anything. Yeah. Yeah. So I was a lot more focused on that than school, you know, and in some ways a good thing, in some ways a bad, you know, and it's like, but around that time, 15 years old, 16 years old, Craigslist was a really big thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I got the itch. I learned about Craigslist and I started with a busted dirt bike and I fixed it up a little bit and I sold it for, I think it was $300. I got it for $150.
Yeah.
And I turned that into a rusty truck, like an S10 I bought for $350. And I kept, you know, I was living at my parents' house.
Buying and reinvesting.
Yeah, buying and selling and learning how can you fix something up and clean it up and, you know, make a nice ad. I met a lot of people and was just in a lot of funny situations, a lot of crazy situations. And so I was doing that, you know, I was living at home with the parents and I learned a lot from my stepdad, you know, cause he was also, he was into buying stuff like that and selling it. And so we kind of encouraged each other, you know, on the next one. And
you guys worked together,
bounced off
ideas, I'm sure.
Yeah, bounced ideas off each other and did a few of them together. And so I was going to school, did that, you know, and I was making more money doing the Craigslist stuff than I was working part-time jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so I really kind of leaned into that and enjoyed it. And back to that figuring out this puzzle. How can I, you know, and so I did it all the way through school. And then my stepdad actually was a police officer for 20 years. And I looked up to him like crazy. He's a smart guy, funny guy.
Now, where was the police officer at?
Dayton Police.
Okay, yeah. Dayton yeah. approved. Dayton
approved, yeah. But he's just, for me, when I looked up to him as just the coolest guy in the world, you know? And I felt like, what an honorable position to be a police officer. So I kind of had this in the, you know, I kind of had this as, this is probably the closest obtainable thing I could do. I kind of understand, you know, what he's doing in some way.
Yeah, you see what he's doing. Talk to him about.
He's a respectable guy. He's funny. Like, if I can be anything like that, you know, that
you're doing good in life.
Yeah, you're doing good in life. But I knew that wasn't going to be the end goal. I knew that that would be a segue to make a living and then start a business.
Yeah.
You know, make a decent income. And so I could, that was, you know, within arm's reach. Because I didn't see myself going to a university. So right out of high school, I went to Sinclair to be in criminal justice. But while I'm doing that, I'm doing the Craigslist stuff.
Right, of course.
You know, because that's what I'm really...
You're good at, and that's how you're making money.
Yeah, the criminal justice program, I mean, that is not, you know, that's not the hardest program, I will say. It's probably not as hard as chemistry.
Now, my brother did that as well. He actually went to Sinclair, and then he went to the Dayton Academy. So he did two academies. And he said, while he was in the academy both times, they said, you're not allowed to technically hold a real job. So, you know.
Oh, while you're in the academy.
While you're in the academy.
Yeah,
so
they want to know.
Exactly.
They want to know what you're doing.
So if you're, you know, doing your side thing on Craigslist, that's technically not a job. So it's a way you can make money.
Yeah, it was kind of a loophole.
Yeah.
You know, you can do this on the side. And but, you know, I stayed course with the police stuff. And right year after, so first year into Sinclair, criminal justice, I had a Craigslist deal that went horribly wrong. It was right around Christmas, and I took a dirt bike over to the west side of Dayton to meet a couple guys that wanted to buy it. And unfortunately, I was robbed, and I was shot in the face. And luckily, made it out of that fine. And it was a big ordeal. I mean, obviously, with the family and my stepdad, who encouraged me to not do the deal. He's like,
yeah, he said
right now
he felt something
time.
Weird about
like
it.
just hold up on this one. And I didn't listen to him, and I went over there, and he was working overtime, not on the west side, but downtown. And he hears the call come over the radio.
Wow.
You know, we got, you know, white male shot, dirt bike, you know, they're fleeing. And I mean, it was insane, an insane night.
Oh yeah.
And I remember Trotwood police showing up to the scene, and I felt this weight of relief seeing this police officer, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how severe the shooting is.
Yeah.
And so I see this officer, and I think, you know, later on is what also encouraged me to be a police officer was that feeling that police officer gave me, like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
we got you.
Yeah.
We're going to get you in this ambulance. We're going to get you down there. And my stepdad was there, his first one there. And so that process, I mean, recovering from that, and, you know, I still knew I wanted to own a business, and I wasn't going to give up from the Craigslist stuff, even after all that.
Of course.
I wasn't
going to
give up. I knew that if it, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Of course.
And it just, you know, that was not going to stop me. And so, but I continued the police program. I felt even more almost indebted to it because of that crazy experience. You know, grew up in the police family. And I remember about a year after the shooting, Sinclair did a story on me about how this was going to court. And I remember they wrote all about what's this kid doing. He's going to school. He wants to be a police officer. And at the end of the story, they said, he also wants to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He has plans to do all this stuff and own a business. And my captain, or the captain of the Sinclair Police Department, who was very involved in the academy, great guy. I consider him a mentor. He said, Chris, we like you. You probably have a job here as an officer someday, you know, get through this program. But if you ever go on to another department, do not say that.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear
it's
that.
It's a no-no. Don't say you want to be an entrepreneur. That's like the opposite of a cop.
These departments don't want to hear. So that was like the first red flag is like, you don't want me to think outside the box. You don't want me. And so, so I ended up becoming a police officer for Sinclair.
The state truck pulls up to my house. And I live in Texas. I'm standing, oh, what's up? And my best friend lived across the street. He said, hey, man, you want to buy some steaks? I said, sure. Let me get my buddy. Hey, Tree, come over here. He's 7 feet tall. We called him Tree.
Yeah.
And this guy opens up his little freezer in the back, and he's just sitting there, oh, I got these, and I got that. And he's telling me all this stuff. He says, I'll sell it to you for all this. And I said, okay. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I'll take everything you got for $100. And he said, what, man, you're crazy. I said, I grew up in a meat market. And you just lied to me about a whole lot of stuff. And I do know the number for a few different places in town that would shut you down.
Right.
So either you sell me everything in that freezer for $100, and it was junk. I wish I didn't eat it.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to tell people about you and what you're doing, and you probably will get in trouble because you're out here lying and ripping people off. And he sold me all these junk fillets and New Yorks and stuff. And I just like – and eating them, like I said, you know, it's like it's melted.
Right.
It melted. It was supposed to be filet mignon, and I was like, I cooked them, and I didn't even eat them.
And they taste like preservatives, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Salt.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm not knocking everybody. I don't know. Yeah. I don't order to send stuff to Dad on Father's Day, box meat stuff. I'm sure it's fine. But I think you would like my fresh product out of the case better than anything you're going to buy out of the back of a truck.
Yeah.
I had a guy come in and try to get me to sell him stuff so he could go sell it out of the back of his truck with my name. And I said, absolutely not. And he said, well, then you're going to have competition. And I looked at him. I said, no, I'm not.
Yeah, where are you going to get that meat?
No one's going to go buy it out of the trunk of your car, dude. And if you did that, I'm going to call the health department because you're going to get people sick.
Trunk guy, get out of here.
Yeah, I just laughed. He got so mad. I was like, what gave you that idea?
Oh, man. And then obviously the recent downfall of what happened, how you got into it, you know, everything happened to you at once.
Yeah.
You know, here you are being an employee. And then all of a sudden, boom, a split second, life changed forever. And that's how you got here.
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur. Yeah. So, yeah, tell us about, you know, that part. Now, you know, we're not talking about the details, but like, it was a big change.
I had a good job. I was happy with what I did. I mean, no one likes everything about their job, but I got up every day and went to work. I was moving up. I was doing good things. And actually, so my dad was murdered January 4th of 2023. That day, I had my year in review. And it was so great. That's why I went to the store that day to tell my dad, hey, you know, I might get promoted. I'm getting a raise. Like, all this good stuff is happening for me. And I've worked my butt off at this job. 3 hours later, he was murdered. But besides the fact that my dad was gone, with him being gone, I suddenly had that store. And it just was so – like, I couldn't even mourn my father because now I had a business. And I didn't sell used tires. I sell fresh meat.
Right.
I can't be closed for 2 weeks while I figure this out. And I had employees. I have families, and that's their income. And that's
balance the feed.
I had a good job. I made good money. I was okay, but I have to worry about them. And many mornings, very sick to my stomach, goes through stress and stuff like that. And it was rough because I'm at my job, trying to do my thing with my job, watching my store on the cameras and worrying to death about that 24/7. And I'd leave my job, and then I'd go to the store until it closed to be there just – and everybody, no, it's okay. My employees, we're fine. We don't need you. But I just felt like I have to be here. Like, it's me now. I have to. And I didn't necessarily, but I didn't know. And my dad got killed beginning of the year. Well, all your licenses are being renewed, all the taxes and all the stuff. And I didn't know.
All the fun business
my
stuff.
My dad's passwords. I didn't know the pins to have his cell, all this. I mean, it was a whole ordeal. Luckily, local government knew my dad, knew what happened. They were very helpful for me, which is how we were able to stay open and keep going. But it was extremely stressful in that.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I was in special ed and all that stuff all the way till 12th grade. But then I went to the career center, and because that was more hands-on, man, my grades skyrocketed. And and that is where I started
found where you're supposed to be. I
digital media and all that stuff. I mean, I was already doing camera work with my Tony Hawk helmet camera all before then, but man, I went straight into digital media. I got like ahead of the class, and I even like taught a couple things there, and I've been called back to the Career Center a couple times to teach as well now. And
that's gotta be a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, I graduated that, went to college for a little bit, then got married. At that time, I was doing a lot of car photography because I've always loved the car industry. So I was doing car photography in Columbus, and I had this dinky little camera doing photos, and then I had a little printer to print out the specs as well, and I would have to stick to these specs because I had to put all this info about the car in there. And my equipment was
kind of like an auto trader thing.
Kind of like an auto trader. Yeah, it was for a different company, but pretty close to like auto trader. Yep. I was really trying to get quality in those photos, though. Like, do as much like magazine looking photos as possible, because that's just how I am. I didn't want to do just a little dinky Craigslist picture, you know?
Right.
And so,
you know, it's funny. I did that with the furniture industry, and what we did was we used PhotoBucket because Craigslist was sweet.
Yeah.
When at first they were really basic, self-governing, do your own thing. So you could actually code, like when you on your post, you could actually put code in it, and the code would work. So we used PhotoBucket, which would then say, give us code.
Okay.
You copy the code. You type in a line of code where you want the picture. The picture would be huge. You don't have to upload the picture. Just be upload on the page in your ad. Yeah, so we hacked it. So we had all these big pictures on Craigslist, and we had such an advantage. And people were like, oh, yeah, this is great. And they were buying furniture from us. And finally, they shut that down. But it was a huge competitive advantage that we had compared to other people. And everyone was like, how are you doing this?
How are you making that picture gigantic?
Exactly.
Huh, that's interesting. And so my equipment would stop working every now and then. And I was taking that kind of like a hint from God at that time. I was doing a little work for a church, only making like $100 a week at that time. But me and my wife just bought a house and just got married. And I presented to my wife, I'm like, I think I'm going to be fired because my equipment just keeps on messing up. Like pictures wouldn't be. Like when I would come home, all the pictures wouldn't be there or something like just some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Or my printer would stop working and I would have to like quit just that day because my printer stopped working. So I told my wife, I think what God really wants me to do, which is a ridiculous thing to think, not ridiculous thing to think God's telling you something, but to think that I need to quit a job and just sit at home and not look for one. After I bought a house and got married.
Yeah.
And so...
You got all this financial responsibility. You got a family that you're starting.
Yeah. Normally, this should not be the way to do something.
The job normally comes first. Yeah. Now you're kind of got the old cart before the horse on with yourself.
Yeah. And so... But that is the feeling that I had for some reason. And my wife was on board, which is surprising.
Well...
And so... I sat there for 2 weeks just making $100 a week for this church. And a producer that saw my work at that church, I didn't know this producer at all, didn't know him at all. He saw my work and contacted my pastor and was like, I really like these videos you guys are pushing out. I got to have this guy. And I had a meeting with him. I ended up producing 5 TV shows with him. And they were decent. We had one big TV show that was actually all the way across the United States on the Sportsman Channel. It had like 200,000 viewers a week, or something pretty big. I can name off a couple. I ended up producing Gator Man.
Okay.
One called Bloodline Outdoors. I produced them for like 3 seasons. Red Dirt Rich, Born to Bow Hunt, all in the hunting industry.
Yeah.
Some
different, so basically multiple YouTube shows.
No, not YouTube.
Not even YouTube. What, like,
that was on Dish Network.
This was big time production.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this was on Dish Network and Spectrum and all them.
Yeah, it just came. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I was now I wasn't in field producing. They would get filmed and mm-hmm. then sent to me. And this was before big files could be sent through the internet. They would have to mm-hmm. send me about 5 hard drives of footage.
Oh, my goodness.
And I would have to search through about 30 terabytes of footage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
To figure out how to make this show happen.
Yeah, so what
it's
I
like,
would
here's
do.
Here's the stuff, do it.
Yeah, yeah. Here's all the footage that we filmed. You make a good-looking video, and then you tell us what we need to do as talking heads. So do you know what a talking head is? It's kind of like what The Office had, where the face was like looking at the camera and they would just talk straight to the camera on what just happened. So that's what I would do. I'd take the show, make a story myself out of the footage that they would give me.
Oh, man.
And then I would write down, okay, this guy needs to say this to the camera. This guy needs to say this to the camera, and 50 times through the whole show. And then I would tell them, you guys need to go record yourselves talking to the camera, kind of about like what you are doing throughout the show and narrating.
Wow.
Yeah. And that one was Bloodline Outdoors. That was the biggest show that we had. And that was doing really well. We had like Hornady as a, which if nobody knows what Hornady is, that is the biggest ammo company there is.
I know that company.
Yeah, yeah. We had them. They're our largest sponsor for that show.
Okay.
But that kind of got my show rolling, or my my company rolling. So just starting to produce TV shows, and then from there those companies would come to me and be like, do you know a graphic designer? And I would say, yeah, I graphic design. Do you know a website builder? Yeah, I can website build. Do you know a package designer for our products? Yeah, I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so these sponsors would come to me, or these people that would like these other companies would start seeing my name on the credits or anything like that, and they would start coming to me for other than videos, and I just started saying yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, just say yes, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, and so then that's kind of how I built my company, and being able to provide anything visual and good looking. And then it was right during COVID, my brother was like, Sam, I kind of need a job right now. Company, because of COVID, laid me off and all this stuff. And so he started working for me. And then more and more work started coming in. We started growing. And then another company came to me and was like, hey, I have a spot in the building. If you need it, you can have it. And I was helping them brand and all that stuff. And so we took that spot, got our own studio. And that's where we're at now.
But and here you are, Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Yeah, it all kind of just laid out for me. Like, I didn't really have to go searching for anything.
Well, you know, that's how it works with God's plan.
And that's exactly where I was going. And so if you're truthful, and if you are steady, and you just make sure you go and listen. Listening is such a big thing for me, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to God, even though you'll never really hear God's voice. That is not a thing.
Yeah.
You don't actually hear his voice. But more if something just happens, just automatically. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, that, I can see that as God helped me out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at DaytonApproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.